Matthew 2, verse 13. Talking about Joseph and Mary, after King Herod passed an edict or decree to kill all the child of don't know how many years old. So the angel spoke to Joseph and Mary to bring Jesus to Egypt for a season. Verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child, who is Jesus, and his mother, flee to Egypt. Flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. Wow. Powerful picture of Moses. Because if you read Acts 3 and throw in Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Bible prophesied that Jesus will be the greater Moses. Okay. Next, modern history. Modern history. Do you know that? Egypt is the only friend of Israel among the Arab world. Remember, Camp David Accord? Yeah, they signed a Camp David Accord in 1977 or 78 or 79. Then the Prime Minister is Anwar Sadat, together with Jimmy Carter. And the Prime Minister then is Begin, I think. It was a general. They call it a one-eye jack. One-eye general, not one-eye jack. A one-eye general. They signed a treaty. And it's the first Arab nation actually shake a hand with a Jew. And because of that, Anwar Sadat was assassinated. And that's arose Hosni Mubarak, if you all remember all this history. But modern day history, even Egypt lived out her redemptive purpose. She stood with Israel. Of course, they don't understand the whole picture. I mean, God is a great, in very common, maneuverer. End time. Okay, I'm just going to give you some verses. End time. Do you know that in end time, one more time, Egypt will provide a place of refuge for Israel? If you understand what happened during end time, anti-Semitism will arise again. When Antichrist arises, he is going to set up concentration camp again. Many of the Jewish people were free. I'm going to give you some verses because if I run through later the context of Isaiah 19, you will understand actually what happened. And Egypt actually stood with Israel. Many Jewish people were free to Egypt. And Egypt will protect them. That is during end time. You know, if you think that Holocaust is over, you are way fully mistaken. It's going to be far worse. The Bible, I think Zechariah 13, talks about two-thirds of the Jewish people in the last days will be killed. Now, how many Jews in Israel? 6 million? Let's say it's 6 million. Two-thirds, 6 million is 4 million of the Jewish people will be killed. It'll be far worse than World War II. But Egypt stood with Israel. Just a few more informations. Then we're going to move on. Egypt will play... No, I'm giving all this information that when you go into Isaiah 19, you appreciate what is actually happening. Because it will be intense. It's all in this. Okay. The last one. Now I'm going to run through the context. The last one. Egypt will play a vital and significant role for God in end time. Okay, there are a few roles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 roles. Okay, let me generalize it. Do you know that Egypt will be the front line of God's defense to resist Antichrist? She will be. That's why God will raise up powerful house of prayer in Egypt. God will raise up city of refuge in Egypt. She will be the front line of defense for God. A few things she will do. She will resist Antichrist for a period. But of course, she will be crushed by Antichrist. Okay. First thing, she will resist Antichrist. Second, she will also resist evil. Third, she will be a place of refuge for the Jewish people. Fourth, you know, Egypt will lead many Jews into salvation. That's why you read Isaiah 19. Many of them will speak Hebrew. The Jewish people will be shocked. They will be provoked to jealousy. Egypt will play a major role in leading many Jewish people who escaped to Egypt during the end time when Antichrist began to purge the nation of Israel. That's what she will do. She will proclaim Jesus as a Messiah to many Jewish people. Okay, and out of Egypt, many Jewish people were called upon the name of Jesus because they saw how powerful God works through Egypt. Okay. Next, Egypt will be the first nation, I believe, even before Israel, first nation to turn completely to Jesus. I'll give you the timeline later, okay? Egypt will be, I said this is glorious, man. Just imagine you are the first nation fully turned to Jesus. I'm going to tell you the difference. Do you know there's a difference between, later I'll tell you the difference, between what Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 verse 14, the weakness of the gospel to the nations. See, the preaching of the gospel is not turning the whole nation into Jesus. That is Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. But Egypt will be the first nation completely turned to Jesus. The last one. Last one. Do you get it? Or y'all say, well, y'all are stunned. Don't know what's happening. Do you get it? You understand? I'll run through it one more time later. Because this is huge. Okay, it takes some time for you to digest. Especially those who are new with us, you don't really aware of Millennium Kingdom, so on. Say, what is all this? Okay, get some of our CDs and find out. Okay, last one. God will use Egypt as a blessing to the nation in the Millennium Kingdom. Okay, again, I'm assuming that all of us understood this concept of Millennium Kingdom. Okay, Millennium Kingdom, you know what happened in Millennium Kingdom is that the world is not going to completely turn to Jesus. It's going to be progressive. It will start from Israel, Egypt, Assyria. Okay? Okay, let's turn to Isaiah 19. Let me paint you the context. Are you still there? Okay, good. Let me paint you the context of Isaiah 19. Because you need to understand what actually happened. The events that is happening during Isaiah 19. Okay. Firstly, Isaiah 19 will be the events that is happening in Isaiah 19 is during the final 7 years of human history before Jesus returned. So all that is happening right now in Egypt is not what happened, what is going to happen in Isaiah 19. Okay, because all that is mentioned is Isaiah 19 will be in the final 7 years of human history. They are all events leading to the second coming, or all the events that will precede second coming. Get what I'm saying? Understand? Okay, there will be the final 7 years. Okay, so it has not begun yet. Whatever you see right now, at best, is only a glimpse of what is bringing us to Isaiah 19. It will help us to understand. Next, I'm going to give you a series of events that happened in Isaiah 19. The first thing, I'm going to go through the first and the second, then I'm going to read you the scripture. Firstly is this. What is going to happen during Isaiah 19? There are a series of events. The first thing is this. Israel will make a covenant or peace treaty with Antichrist for 7 years. Write down the verses. Daniel chapter 9, these are important because then you understand in the context of what is going to happen to Egypt. Daniel 9, verse 27. Isaiah 28, verse 14 to 18. Zechariah 11, verse 16. All these three passages of scripture talks about Israel will make a peace treaty with Antichrist. Okay. Next, in the middle of the 7 years, Antichrist will break the treaty and Antichrist will invade Israel and set up his headquarters in Jerusalem. Okay, turn with me to Daniel 9. Daniel 9. If you have been sitting through our teaching, you will be aware of some of this. Okay, we talk a lot about Daniel 9. Turn me to Daniel 9. Daniel. You know, if you look through all these things, we are getting closer and closer. We are really getting closer and closer. Daniel 9, verse 27, talks about Israel actually signed a peace treaty with Antichrist. They thought that they're going to have peace. Okay. Did they realize that this man is going to betray Israel? They're going to break the peace treaty, a 7 years treaty, at the middle of the 7 years, maybe it's 3.5, and that will initiate and start the great tribulations. Okay. Daniel 9:27. Then he, okay, he is referring to Antichrist. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many. You know why many? It's referring to Israel and many nations around the Middle East. Okay. They will sign a peace treaty for 1 week. If you understand Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, 1 week is referring to 7 years. A peace treaty for 7 years. That's where everybody is very happy. Say, peace finally arrived. Peace finally have arrived. They will be impressed with this man because this man has all the answers, so-called. He will solve all the food problem, political turmoil in Middle East problem is solved now. If you train 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that's where they say, everybody thought that is peace and safety. Suddenly, because Antichrist will unmask himself, break the peace treaty, and reveal to the world who he actually is, and Israel will be shocked. Turn with me to Isaiah 27, or rather Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28 gives us an even clearer picture of what this is going to happen. Isaiah 28. Let me read from verse 14. I'm not going to run through all the verses. I'm going to run through the more important and relevant. The rest, go and read it on your own. Because you need to be clear about it. Because all this will help you to develop clarity and understanding. Because you need to know the whole chronological order. See, a lot of times, people interpret it wrongly because they don't understand the chronological event. Like many people thought that, which horse is arrived, really? Third horse in Revelation 6. No, have not. It's not even near. We probably have decades away, 2-3 decades. So I'm giving you all this scripture so that you will go and read it, meditate it, pray over it, ask God for clarity and understanding. You need to process it on your own. Okay, there's no easy way out. Isaiah 28, verse 14. I tell you, this is scary. I read this verse, whoa, we got to pray for Israel. No, not praying that she will not sign a peace treaty with Antichrist, because no way. It's prophesied. It will definitely happen. Pray for grace. Pray for mercy. Okay? Isaiah 28, verse 14. And I know some of you say, why am I so serious? Because this is a serious issue. Okay, I'm not going to tell jokes. Isaiah 28, verse 14. Talk about Israel signing peace treaty. And then along the way, Antichrist will break the peace treaty and his reign of terror will be so horrifying. Even the hearing of the report will cause you to tremble. Okay, Isaiah 28, verse 14. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You scornful, is referring to the leaders of Israel during those times. You scornful leaders who rule the people who are in Jerusalem. Listen to verse 15. No, there's a reason why they signed this peace treaty. They thought that by signing this peace treaty with Antichrist, they will be spared the terror. Little will they realize that this man is going to betray them. That's why verse 15 is so interesting. Because you have said, talking about the Jewish leader those times, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. Wow, I mean, this is so clear. We have made a covenant with death and with hell. We are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, that means the reign of terror, Antichrist, passes through nation. The Jewish people thought, because they have signed a peace treaty, they will be saved. Okay, let's finish the verse. They say, when the overflowing scourge passes through, that means talking about the Antichrist's reign of terror, he will conquer nations. And he will be terrifying. He will crush nations. Okay? And the Jewish people say this because they thought they had signed a peace treaty. For we have made lies our refuge. and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Let's go to verse 18. Verse 18. Talk about along the way, Antichrist will break the treaty. Verse 18. Your covenant with death will be annulled. That means he will break the treaty. And your agreement with hell will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. Read Daniel 9:27. What happened is this. When Antichrist broke the peace treaty, he will invade Jerusalem. What he did is that he will go all the way to the, theologically it's called the tribulation temple. Desolate the temple, erect the image of the beast, demand the world to worship him, he will persecute Israel big time. That's what this verse says. Let's go to verse 19. As often as he goes out, it will take you. From morning by morning, it will pass over. And by day, by night, listen to this one, it will be a terror just to hear the report. You'll be so horrifying. That's why we got to pray for Israel. Okay. Next, turn with me to Daniel 11. Daniel 11. These are all in the context of Isaiah 19. Okay. That's why it's not surprisingly God will raise up a strong Egyptian church and the house of prayer, because Egypt will be the front line of God's defense to resist Antichrist. Not just to resist Antichrist, she will stand with the Jewish people. Not just stand with the Jewish people, she will lead many of the Israel to become Messianic Jew. That's why you got to pray for Egypt. Okay, turn with me to Daniel 11. Daniel 11, again, is in the context of Isaiah 19. What happened is Antichrist unmasked himself. They know that he's Antichrist. Egypt, if you read Daniel 11, verse 40 to 45, three regions stood up to resist. Okay, you need to understand this, because then you go to Isaiah 19, you will understand that, because many people understood that Egypt will resist Antichrist. But not many people are aware that because she resists Antichrist, Antichrist will crush Egypt. Egypt will come under the temporarily rule of Antichrist. It will be. That's why during that period, it will be both glorious and intense. Antichrist will reign over Egypt, but yet at the same time, God's glory will move very powerfully to Egypt. God will raise up the house of prayer to resist the oppressor. Now you understand? It's glorious. Okay. Daniel 11. Again, if you understand Daniel 11. Daniel 11 verse 32 to end of the chapter is really about Antichrist. What happened is this. I'm going to read from verse 40 to 45. Egypt and Assyria will resist and attack Antichrist. And then Antichrist will defeat and crush Egypt and Assyria, and Antichrist will have a temporary rule over Egypt. Then Antichrist will march through Israel and establish his headquarters at Jerusalem. He will have control of the economy of Egypt. Okay, so that is all in the context of Isaiah 19. Meanwhile, Egypt is ruled by Antichrist. He's not stationed there, but he will have his kakia, all his rulers and so on. But at the same, I tell you, this is kind of like positive and negative. At the same time, God will wave his hand across Egypt. Great power will move. Egyptian will tremble before God. God will raise up houses of prayer and five cities of refuge. Intense, isn't it? And then, let me just throw in one more thing. At the end of it, as Egyptians were praying, crying, at the most intense part, Jesus will come, and the first place that Jesus will land is Egypt. Whoa, I want to be there, man. I tell you, if I bring you to Israel, I'm going to bring you to Egypt first. We're going to march through the route. I roughly know the route. I kind of work out the route, and it's quite interesting. Yeah, I'm going to go along the way. Okay, if some of y'all are not understanding what I'm talking about, you need to understand what second coming is about. You know, traditionally, we are taught that second coming is a one-day event where, boom, Spirit and the Christ, Spirit and the Christ, Spirit of the Bride say, come, Lord Jesus, Jesus will come and land at Mount Olive. That's wrong. Second coming is a 30 days event called a procession, divided in three stages. Procession in the sky, where Jesus will go around the world, longitude, latitude, everywhere he go, he will rapture the church. When he raptured the church, everybody's supposed to be raptured and resurrected. The full number is in, he will land at Egypt, likely to be Mount Horeb, because Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. Because you know why? Jesus is described in Acts 3 verse 22 as the greater Moses. He will be like a prophet like Moses. He will land in Egypt, somewhere in Mount Sinai. He will gather, now you understand, okay? He will gather all the Jewish people that has escaped or being deported to concentration camp in Egypt, Jordan. That's why the route is he's coming from Egypt. Hey, this is what? North. Head north and throw in Isaiah 63. Who is this coming from? Bosra, Edom. That's in Jordan. He'll go all the way, bring out all the Jewish refugees and all the Jew who has escaped to Egypt and Jordan. He will, along the way, throw in this seven bowl judgment. I tell you, it's intense. And we are all behind riding white horses. We'll be playing, worshipping, and so on. Yeah, we are, as if we are going to be there. Okay. And when he hit Jordan, he will turn. This is what? I want to say turn left. No. Turn west. It will end around at the Valley of Jehoshaphat, just beside Mount Olive, as a final battle. It's called the Battle of Jerusalem. He will defeat Antichrist. Then the last stage, he will march into Jerusalem. And he will crown himself as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Along the way, he will bring up all the Jews. Now you will understand Isaiah 63. He walk in full of blood. The watchman of the wall said, "Why is your garment red?" Jesus is not politically correct. He didn't even bother to change his robe. Most of us will be, must change this sui sui, come in and he came in with his robe soaked in blood because he kills many people. The blood that will flow, the Bible says 320 miles long, 1 meter deep. Whoa, I tell you, a lot of blood, man. That's second coming procession. So now you understand, okay? Next, I haven't read Daniel 11. Whoa, I only had Daniel, I haven't go to Isaiah. No, I must paint you all this so that you understand. Now you understand the whole picture. That's how you got to pray for Egypt. Yeah. Never mind, don't throw in more. Daniel 11, verse 40. Daniel 11. Actually, I'm just piecing everything together for you. Most of this thing I've talked about. Okay. But more and more, you will see even clearer. And with the world event, it's just confirming some of this thing. Okay. Again, please. You must not interpret the scripture by the world event. You interpret the world event according to what the scripture say, or else you will always be off. Okay. Daniel 11, verse 40. At the time of the end, talking about end time, the king of the south is referring to, because you know, you must understand, when Daniel write the book of Daniel, the center point is always Israel. When you talk about the king of the south, that means south of Jerusalem. King of the north, north of Jerusalem. King of the east, east of Jerusalem, and so on. When you talk about the king of the south, you're talking about Egypt. The king of the south shall resist him or attack him. King of the north, we're talking about Syria. Okay, Assyrians, part of Assyrians. King of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, with many ships. Then Antichrist shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, or you can change the word to, he will crush them and pass through Egypt and Syria, because understand the army is powerful. No human army can overcome Antichrist's army except the Lord's army and the house of prayer. That's how we need to pray. Verse 41. After he crossed Egypt and Assyria. Listen to verse 41. He shall also enter the glorious land. You know where is glorious land? Israel. He will invade Israel. Okay, let's go to verse 42. He shall stretch out his hand against the country. The Middle Eastern country around Israel, all will be affected. And the land of Egypt shall not escape. Later, when I go through Isaiah 19, you will understand why I say Egypt will be under temporary rule of Antichrist in the last days. Verse 43, he shall have power, that means he will control over the economy of Egypt. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. They submit to him. Listen to 44. Daniel 11 verse 44. We talk about Asian country. I believe specifically refer to China. You know why? This verse talk about Antichrist is troubled by the kings of the east. If you draw a straight line from Jerusalem, straight east, all the way, you know where you will hit? You'll hit Hangzhou. You know where's Hangzhou? Hangzhou is just slightly below, not China, slightly below Shanghai. You know where is Sihu? In the ancient China, the emperor will have his capital. He has a few capital. One of the capital cities is Hangzhou. Because Hangzhou has Sihu. Have you heard this poem? 上有天堂,下有西湖. That's why that is one of the capital. It's definitely referring to China. China with Asian coalition of a few nations will resist Antichrist. Of course, Antichrist will crush it too. If you read Revelation, the sixth bowl judgment. Okay, let me just read you verse 44. Again, I'm assuming all of you have heard my teaching. If not, go and find out somehow. Because I cannot explain everything, because then they will take 5-6 hours. I'm assuming all of us understand. Verse 44. News from the east, talking about the kings of the east, and the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. He will crush. Okay, because you read Revelation, I think it's Revelation 16. At the end of the day, just before the battle of Jerusalem, Antichrist have near domination of nations over the world. I say near, of course not complete. Okay. Verse 45. He shall pass the tents, he shall plant the tent. That means he's going to plant his headquarters between the sea, that means the Mediterranean Sea, and the glorious holy mountain. We're talking about what mountain is that? Mount Olive. That means he will plant his HQ in Jerusalem. So this is what is going to happen next. Turn with me to Zechariah 14. I try to aim to finish this by 9 so I can run through Isaiah 19. Zechariah 14. Because you must understand the context, then you appreciate Isaiah 19. Zechariah, did I say Zechariah 14? Okay, Zechariah 14. Turn with me to Zechariah 14. Actually, the more you run through all this, then you realize, wow, really everything is coming together. In a good sense. Zechariah 14. Wait, give me some time to turn to Zechariah 14. Again, this is crucial for us to understand so that we appreciate Isaiah 19. Because what happened in Zechariah 14 is this. Antichrist went into, after crushed Egypt, Syria, went into Jerusalem and set up his headquarters. I tell you, this prophecy is staggering, it's terrifying. He will, how do I say this? He will capture all the Jews. Half of the Jew will be captured and deported out of Jerusalem. And will be deported to, I believe, in these two countries. Okay, later I'll prove it to you why I believe in these two countries. They will be deported, just like in World War II, Holocaust. What's the guy's name? Hitler set up concentration camp. Poland, Hungary, Austria. Not even in Germany, I think there are, but the most well-known concentration camp is in Poland, isn't it? Yeah. This is going to be the reenactment. He's going to arrest and capture half of the Jew. Now, there are 600,000 Jewish people staying in Jerusalem. Imagine half of the Jew will be deported. 300,000 will be deported out to concentration camp in Egypt as well as Jordan area, Assyria.